Go ahead.
So there's this drunk guy staggering around the neighborhood, and he comes up and he starts beating up a nun. And nun goes down, and he's staggering around, and he's like looking back at the nun and on the ground now, and he says, "Golly, Batman, I thought you'd be tougher."
That's so bad. That's so bad.
That was actually from a psychiatric study.
A psychiatric study.
The psychiatrist, you know, the psychiatry is trying to be a science, and it's really almost kind of adjacent to science because it's so bad. You know, Freud and Jung were basically making everything up. They had no scientific basis for this nonsense that they were spewing. And so a lot of the 20th century, or the last half of the 20th century, a lot of psychiatrists were trying to run, quote, experiments, but those experiments were terrible. You know, it was all white people because they were all grad students. There were like five or six people in their studies. And, you know, you can't really make generalizations based on that, but they did. And then the other problem was in the 2000s, people started trying to replicate all those experiments, which was guiding psychiatry through the later half of the 20th century, and they couldn't replicate the experiments, which means they were faulty to begin with. Anyway, so that was a study or trying to look at to see, understand humor and offense. Like, if something is humorous, can it be offensive and vice versa? Where is that line? So it's one of these, you know, really dumb studies, which, well, it sounds dumb because, yeah, of course, if it's funny, it's not as offensive. If it's not funny, it's offensive.
Well, they're trying to draw the line more, it seems like, in the line of offense. Like, where's the line where you become offended, where it wouldn't be funny? So, yeah, I just thought it was like some dad joke thing you found.
Exactly. And that's what they're using in the study. That's the best they got. You know, if you're running a study like that, you might want to invite a comedian or two to be on the panel.
Aren't there comedians that you find that are so offensive that it isn't funny?
Well, are they comedians?
I don't know what they... I mean, they allege they stand up at a mic and profess to be comedians.
This is why it's always a little bit subjective. Because if you are funny, then you can get away with it, but not everyone finds the same thing funny.
Right.
I think to some degree, there's probably an objective funniness. You could probably look at something, even if you might be offended by it, you might still be able to see that it's funny to other people or has a, you know, a some kernel of funniness. I think we're all offended by the things that are close to us, like that we hold dear. Like, I was about to say, you know, don't mock cycling stuff because I'm very sensitive to that. But then I realized, well, no, that's not true at all. I mean, I mock these idiots all the time because they're so stupid. So cycling is such a silly... that is exactly the same thing as psychiatry. They try to do things based on, quote, science, and they completely fail.
Cycling is science?
I got into cycling in the late 80s. And this was just after there was kind of a shift that happened in the cycling world. Bicycles, road bicycles, you know, they're skinny tires, but before that, the older road bikes had a little bit fatter tires and a little bit wider rims.
Okay.
And then there was this shift, and overnight everything got really skinny. They thought they were going faster if they rode skinnier tires. And that sounds like it makes sense, but there was actually someone who sat down in the early 2000s that did the science behind it and discovered, wait a second, fatter tires are actually a little bit faster. Because it smooths out the pavement and causes less braking action. And we're not talking about huge things. We're talking about the difference between 7/8 of an inch, like that's how wide a tire would be, versus 1 inch or 1 1/8 inch. So, you know, it's pretty small, but it was just so funny that basically for 25 years, road bikers were just completely down the wrong end. Anyway, I don't know why I went off on that.
I don't know. I'm asleep, but okay, this is what happens
when you have a cyclist. An old cyclist.
An old cyclist.
Who's been around. Anyway.
So what else is on your mind today?
January, I feel, I don't know, man. January's kind of weird.
January is flying by. We're like halfway through. Do you ever make resolutions? I don't.
No.
I don't. And so that's why we didn't do that for a show. I mean, there's just nothing to resolve about. I just think I'm just going to plug along, do the best I can. And man, I woke up yesterday and this month is just flying by. And then today, like, I'm like, I can't believe we're sitting here again podcasting on a Friday. And it's like, gosh, that it seems like yesterday we just did
that.
That
would make more sense to me, Catherine, if you were doing a lot of work, like you'd put out a dozen TikToks.
I know. Well.
But how many TikToks have you done so far?
I'm working on the first one still.
Am I criticizing you too much? I'm sorry.
No, you're not criticizing. No, I mean, I've been trying. It sucks up a lot of time, and then I've got stuff to do here, and so that sucks up more time. And then, I don't know, I was really tired this week, and I just wanted to sleep a lot.
You need to find playmates for your parents. You need to set up some play dates so you can just get them out of the house for a couple of days and just leave them
That's
there.
That's what everyone has said. So, yes, I need a break. I would like a play date. I would like 3 weeks on a deserted island with a coconut drink and sushi or something.
Is it alcohol? Coconut drink?
Alcohol adjacent. You know, I don't do well with alcohol.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. Everything's adjacent to me now.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying that's one of the reasons I was bringing up January. It seems like it's being a little bit abused because I saw there's no spend January. There's some people want to be like sober January, which is
dry January.
Dry January. And all the resolutions. And people are really, you know, hey, back off January for a minute, okay? Wait, just relax a second.
Cut her a break.
This is a brand new year. It's got to follow up after the holiday season. It's hard to be January. Kids got to go back to school, and now you're just piling more stuff on this poor month.
Crap.
I mean, it's almost as bad as February. Obviously, February doesn't get a lot of love. I mean, obviously, there's Valentine's Day, but aside from that, you know, it's the shortest month, and it's usually considered one of the bleakest months in the northern hemisphere because it's like cold. Yeah, it's like the coldest month.
Okay.
And it's the shortest month.
Okay, let's rewind to dry January. When did this start? I woke up and all of a sudden I started hearing dry January. And my nose is in the news a lot. All of a sudden everyone acts like it always was a thing. Was dry January always a thing?
Oh, no. I think people are recognizing it's being new. I think it may have started last year.
Like Movember or whatever.
Remember
Movember?
Yes.
Who starts this stuff?
They're stunts.
What could we start?
Well...
Oh, Air Fryer February.
Air Fryer. I think that's a thing. I think it's Air Fryer every day, all day long now.
Oh, God.
Air Fryer. You can't get enough Air Fryers.
No, but I
Costco
think we should start
has
that.
At least two models that they sell.
Which one did you buy?
I bought the only one that was in stock.
Oh, okay.
Actually, they have more models, but the only two good ones. You know, okay. There's some of them try to be toaster ovens, too. And, you know, either get a toaster oven or an air fryer. They're not the same thing, really. Just get over it.
So, yeah, so this, you know, the Movember, dry January.
No, not talking about November. We're talking about poor old January.
No,
so just
I'm talking
give it up.
About
well,
the whole thing.
Was, I know, but I just want to focus on January.
Okay, yeah, January is abused. It's
we
almost
can,
over.
You know, you're already trying to downplay January by skipping all the way to November. No, this is January's time, damn it, Catherine.
Well,
we're talking
rewinding.
About January.
It was rewinding to November, actually,
so,
we just did it.
Well, did you stop shaving for November?
I don't... Shave what?
Well, that's Movember.
No,
like, you don't get it. All right.
No, I got Movember. Okay.
Rewind. So January, and there's this no spend January. I read an article about it because it always comes from the articles. It's terrible articles. So have you been spending any money in January, Catherine?
I probably spent more money in the last, what day is it? 15th?
14th.
14th. In the last 14 days than I spent in all of 2021.
How did you manage that?
I don't know. Well, I was only buying groceries, and now I'm like, oh, hell. I mean, I want this, I want that. I've just been ordering stuff online.
Food?
Obviously, buying food. That's just like the...
Well, you just said groceries, so I don't know what else you would be...
Right,
what do you consider
bought,
groceries?
No. I mean, no, not food. I mean, the groceries is the baseline. I'm just ordering things that I want delivered to make me happy. I ordered some books from MoMA.
That's not food.
But I never treat myself to stuff like that because I just gave away a bunch of books. And now I'm stocking back up. I was skinning down everything. So I ordered 4 books from MoMA.
So did you miss No Spend January? Hashtag?
I didn't even know it was No Spend January.
Well, come on. I thought you should keep on top of things. This is one of the things I'm complaining about January being abused. It's like, come on, guys. Give us a rest. So the article is like, oh, all these people are trying to, you know, save their money and not spend any money. But... It was really kind of lame because they're still buying groceries, so you're spending. It's not really spend January if you're actually still buying groceries and you're still buying basics and necessities and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, you have to buy groceries, and that's
you don't
expensive.
Have to buy that stuff if you're growing your own stuff or if you stock ahead of time, you know.
Growing your own.
It just seemed kind of flim-flammy to me.
I can't grow enough vegetables. I mean.
You're not much of a farmer, are you?
I've seen your garden.
It's not my garden.
I know. It's like.
I wish.
can't feed a family of three.
I wish I was a gardener because that'd be something I could do with my time.
We could
have a fully functional farm. We have enough land, backyard and front yard to have a fully functional urban garden.
You really do. You really do. And I'll tell you something, the soil down there.
It's terrible.
It's terrible, but if you dug it up, like when
well,
I lived...
it doesn't matter. You can get compost and you can buy soil. That's not the problem.
Right. No, you would have to have the soil shipped in. But the climate down there, it's really different than like even as far away as I live from you. And it's almost like it's a microclimate. We got more water. I had a better garden in Coronado area than I ever had up here. It's drier. We don't even have bees up here.
I don't really believe that.
No, I mean, seriously, there's like something, or maybe it was just like there was more vegetation in the area. Like it's an older area. It's almost like its own like mini microclimate.
Here's the thing. With the spaces we're talking about, you can create whatever climate you want to. You can either go full greenhouse or do shading and misters. And there's all kinds of ways to manipulate mm-hmm. that. So that's not really a good excuse, Catherine.
My neighborhood, we don't even have bees anymore. There are no trees. It's
we don't
like
have
desert.
A lot of bees here either.
But it's like a desert.
We have a lot of cats.
Oh, God.
Which is we'd have to keep the cats out.
Ugh.
Aside from that, speaking of food.
Uh-huh.
So on this buying spree you went on, did you buy any Huel products?
No.
The dry vegan meals?
I've seen it advertised. Why is it Huel? Is it like fuel for your heart?
Who knows how they name these things these days? I don't know. The names have always been kind of silly.
What is your take on this? Because to me, it looks like Soylent Green.
Well, I think they have a Soylent Green option. One of their things is it's a dry powder. You pour it in and it's got all your daily nutrients in it. But they also have regular meals like I think mac and cheese and stuff like that. Mm. But it's supposed to be a little more couture, like high end kind of fancy stuff. You know, it's for us. It's for us, quote, wealth adjacent, middle-aged white people.
I see. Okay, I just pulled up their website.
On your phone. God, I hate that. Great.
It's a nutritionally complete food.
I think it's funny because it looks like an interesting product, but there are two things that struck me about it. At some point, I saw like the average meal cost was $4.65.
Right.
Which isn't bad. That's, you know, pretty reasonable.
Right.
For something that's prepared. So here's the deal with it.
Okay.
You get a bag full of dried contents, you scoop out a cup, you dump it into a bowl, and then you just pour hot water into it and wait 5 minutes and you have a meal. That's really convenient. And if it's good and it's well balanced, hey, can't really knock that very much. But that does sound a lot like camp food to me. Also, I'm thinking, well, you know, if I need fast food on the go, I can go to McDonald's for $3.68 and get a hamburger, apple pie, and a coffee. So, you know, you haven't even beat McDonald's at cost-wise. But the camping food brings up an interesting question.
Okay, what is that?
I don't know. Well, have you ever been camping? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say camping food?
I'm not a camper, if you can only imagine that. And I have been camping probably 1.5 times.
You bailed?
No, the half time, like we stayed like in a nicer camping place. It was like...
A nicer camping place.
The first time I went camping, it was like camping. And they had...
Yeah, explain your camping experience to me.
Okay,
it
was way back, like when I was very, very young, probably in high school.
Uh-huh.
And my friends' parents were like avid campers. I'm like, we've got to go camping. So they got like the little camper thing they hauled around.
They had a camper trailer?
They did.
Wow.
But the kids weren't allowed in it. So we had to...
Excellent.
So we had to set up like a tent.
Right.
It was horrific.
Whoa.
It was horrific. I was horrified by the whole scenario. And they wouldn't let us in the camper. I mean, once we got there, it was like kind of not the kind you pull, but it was like kind of stuck in the truck. What's that called?
Oh, it was in the camper bed. I mean, the truck bed.
Yeah, it was like a little L thing. Yeah, and so it was kind of cute. And they were very comfortable. And I was just in hell. And we're outside.
Where were you?
We were just up by Flagstaff somewhere.
Okay, and what time of year was it?
Like maybe early summer, late spring, early summer.
Okay.
But it did get cold at night. I remember being
cold.
Well, it was cold enough for me I was whining. I just didn't, and I didn't want to be high maintenance that, and you know, and who said that then? But I remember that, like, the camper, the whole situation, like the food, the fact that, like, we were ostracized, like, to the edges of society by the parents. Well, yeah, they wouldn't let us in the camper again. And they had, you know, it's like, what am I supposed to do?
The camper's too small to have more than two people in it.
I know, but still, you know, it would have been nice to sleep without wolves or whatever was up there. I just couldn't sleep.
Come on. Okay, how far off the road were you camping?
I don't know. We probably were over by, I don't know what's up by Flagstaff.
Well, Flagstaff is up by Flagstaff, but it's okay. There were a lot of campsites.
There were campsites, and all could I remember.
Could you see other campsites from where you were?
They were quite a ways away. Like, we were pretty secluded, but it was like a camp. Like, people weren't on top of you. Like, it wasn't where everyone pitched their tent and pretended they were roughing it. So,
well, it sounds like you kind of were, because this is car camping. This isn't backpack camping.
Yeah, it was awful.
Well, and I still don't see why it's so awful.
I guess I thought it would be glamorous. Like, the food wasn't good, and I was cold a lot. I was uncomfortable. You know, I didn't bring any books to read. I just was bored, and I just thought...
Your delicate flower.
Yeah, and so then the second time was more recent, and I went camping up around Heber with some friends, and they had a camper, and we all slept in the camper. That's like the half time, because I didn't feel like it was really camping.
Not really.
You know, all night I just heard, we heard like gunshots and people chanting.
Well, you
got to
pick your campsites carefully.
This was on their land. They owned like 30 acres of land the Mogollon Rim in Heber.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, you can go to nice campsites.
No, this wasn't a campsite. This was their land. And I was, you know, because like you're just in a thin little thing. And if people are shooting guns, it could go through that thin metal. And I was just a little nervous. I think the second night I slept, and then I just never went back up there. The first night I was too nervous to sleep. And I kept hearing people playing drums and chanting.
Well, you hear that down in Coronado, too. It doesn't put me off sleeping.
It just felt too surreal. And I didn't know if there were actually people chanting or if it was some, like, spirits of the land.
Oh, yes, of course, because that's what it would be. Anyway.
I know. Anyway, so I'm not a camper.
Yeah, it does not sound like it.
My idea of camping is a nice, you know, give me a nice spa somewhere with a good yoga studio and a massage therapist.
That's
and I'm down.
Camping.
It's for me. That's good enough.
That's a spa weekend.
Those are amazing.
I don't know why I like camping, but I also don't understand why people don't like camping. It seems like kind of a basic thing that you should be able to do easily. You know, it puts you out a little bit, right? Gets you out of your normal circumstances.
It puts you out a lot.
It cuts you back down to the bare minimum of what you need to survive to some degree. Gets you back out in nature in the wilderness. Do you like nature, Catherine?
I do.
From a distance?
From a distance.
Yeah. See, that's a problem. You got to get in it.
I don't know. I guess I'm just a city slicker.
That's why you're so unbalanced.
Am I unbalanced?
You have to connect to your mother nature.
Well, maybe I'll order some fuel.
Huel.
Oh, Huel. Okay.
So, but anyway, that's exactly the kind of stuff you bring some people bring when they camp. A lot of people will get these dehydrated meals. Mm. They bring them out in the backcountry. They boil their water in their jet boils, and they pour the water into the bag, and then they eat right out of the bag.
Oh, that's just so lovely.
And those meals are a lot more expensive than this Huel stuff is. And it seems like kind of cheating to me.
Huel?
No. When you're doing the dehydrated food while you're camping. Because... I don't know. It's a lot of packaging goes into it. It doesn't seem like you're really in the spirit of camping.
Right. Well, on the last camping trip, when we were up in Heber, we stopped in Payson and got a bunch of food.
Good old Payson. Yeah, when you're car camping, it's a lot easier because you can just buy whatever you want and then, you know, throw up a grill and grill out whatever you like.
Right. I was afraid of bears.
They're not going to wander into your camp. There are too many people up there.
Okay. Well, there were only four of us, but it was, I don't know, it was okay. I was ready to come home.
Yeah, after 2 days?
And never go back. Never go back. That was pleasant enough.
You know, the thing is, you get out there, it's a challenge. Well, for me, it's a challenge because I actually go backpacking, right? I have to put everything on my back, carry it in, put the tent up, get the food out, cook the food. You know, it's real.
Right.
Sort of. So it's a challenge to make sure you got all that stuff ready and to do it properly. You get way out there in the wilderness and then you see wilderness and you get to experience nature more closely. And then coming home, it's like, wow, it's so nice to have a house. It gives you an appreciation for the stuff you have at home.
So does house hunting, particularly in this area. I was looking for a new place like several years ago and my realtor was hauling me all over the place. It was when I was living in your neighborhood and I was looking for my own place. I wanted to buy and invest and the real estate market had kind of tanked at that time. And I started looking at all these places. And at the time, there were so many short sales and people just bailing. Oh, and a lot of properties were really distressed. And then I'd come home to either my folks' place or the dump I was living in. And it all looked glorious. So that's just an aside. So it's kind of like camping.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to buy other people's shit.
Yeah, really, right? Particularly if the house was vacant for any length of time and people broke in and did like satanic rituals and there was like purple.
What the satanic? What are you talking? They're just getting, well, they're just pulling the copper out of the walls to recycle. Yeah,
there were copper out of the walls. There were no shelving things and a lot of the kitchens. And like my fond memories of like purple and black wax all over the floor and the walls. They had taken up the carpeting if there was carpet.
Oh, that's just sex.
I thought it was satanic.
Why would it be satanic?
I don't know.
You're bullying a whole religion just because you don't understand it.
Or some kid's version of satanic. You know, they just bastardize everything.
Why does that have to be satanic? Why are you jumping to satanic all the time?
That's what my realtor said. He was freaked out.
Christian. You're such a Christian.
I'm not a Christian. But
you sound like one. Oh, is it satanic? It's got to be. Oh, if it's weird, it's satanic.
My realtor was freaked out. He's like, I hear voices and here we have to
Realtors.
Leave.
That's stupid.
Cut that whole part out.
No. The other problem with this Huel stuff is that it just can't compete with an air fryer.
Okay, so air fryer February.
It's not February yet.
We're officially starting it. So everyone get your air fryers. If you don't have one, buy one.
It is not the month of the air fryer. It is the year of the air fryer. It may be the century. It may be the century of the air fryer.
Okay, I was a little sketchy on air fryers. Tell me about the air fryer.
Well, what do you need to know? It's like an oven.
Okay.
And a toaster, but one that's really well designed so that it recirculates the heat and it's very well insulated. Here's a problem I have with the air fryer is once I've made dinner, and I close it up, we go have dinner, like an hour later, I go back to clean it, I open it up, and the plate is still too hot to take it out.
Oh, wow.
That's how well insulated these things are. I don't know how much it probably draws a lot of power because it heats up very quickly. Uh-huh. So I think it's drawing a lot of power, but I think and then it cooks stupid fast. Uh-huh. Mine has a crisper tray, so the fat drains out into the main tray, cleanup is easy, and it drains up all the fat.
So what are you frying up?
I have done nothing yet. I haven't even really done much of anything aside from preparing frozen foods, but it's been so helpful with that stuff that I just can't ever see not using it. And, you know, I saw a video last night about how you can make pancakes in them. A little sketchy on the pancake thing, but yeah, I guess you could do it. There's all kinds of stuff you can do in there. It just kind of blows my mind how much stuff you can actually make in there. And just, it's so fast. I bought some frozen chicken nuggets from Costco.
Uh-huh.
It's just white meat. With breading, you know, breading, nothing. No, I bread the ingredients and there's chicken and there's...
Okay.
My wife is very sensitive about what she can eat. There wasn't like a lot of corn starch or syrup or whatever.
Okay, good.
Very simple, straightforward ingredients.
Okay.
I chucked them all in there and 8 minutes later, they're ready to eat.
From frozen?
From frozen. And they were crispy and they were juicy. It was perfect. It was like, these are some of the best, you know, chicken nuggets I've had.
Wow.
And my wife even ate them, which is unusual. I usually cook for me and my son, and my wife has to cook her own meal because she has such a restricted diet.
Mm-hmm.
But she ate them, and the whole family partook and enjoyed.
Oh, that sounds actually quite yummy. I'm a little hungry right now.
And we made Impossible Burgers, again, from Costco, and those went down quite well as also. I don't think they're as good as the Beyond Burgers, but the Beyond Burgers really stink. When they're cooking,
they smell. Okay. I've not done any of that.
But they're good. Oh, still haven't tried your bean burgers yet. I'm sorry.
Yeah. See, I make everything from scratch and it gets old.
I'm just using it on the low level sort of dummy settings for the air fryer. You can make steak and fish and you can cook all kinds of things. You can asparagus. I was going to do Brussels sprouts. I was so excited to get some Brussels sprouts because I loved baked Brussels sprouts.
I do too.
My sister-in-law dropped some off that she had made for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
So I served some to my son and he hated them.
I didn't like Brussels sprouts as a kid.
He just crushed my hope and desires. So we're not going to have any Brussels sprouts here until he's off to college.
I didn't like them, but I think it was how they cooked, like when we were growing up, and they tended to boil things, and boiled Brussels sprouts are probably the single most heinous vegetable on the planet. So right there, I would totally agree with him.
Nope. I boil them too, but I do prefer the baked ones.
The baked
roasted,
ones.
Roasted. I'm sorry, roasted.
Right. Right. I like them roasted and crispy. I like to kind of break them up or cut them in half, and then they kind of fall apart a little bit, and you get little Brussels sprout skins.
That sounds good.
And that is really good. I just pop those in the broiler and go.
Yeah. Thing is, you do it in the air fryer, and it's half the time
less. That would be a miracle around here.
And it's easier to clean up.
Try the bean burger recipes I sent you.
Yeah, you can certainly. Yeah, I could cook them in the air fryer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that'd be great. I've been contemplating getting one. I just didn't want another gadget around this kitchen. We have stuff, you know?
I get
It's like, that's the same reason I didn't buy an Instant Pot. A friend gave me her Instant Pot to try out. And I took it out and I'm like, oh, it just feels like so much work. She's like, just try it out and then let me know. And I didn't buy one because I don't want another thing.
Well, if you don't have an Instant Pot and you don't have an air fryer, what gizmos do you have in your kitchen?
I have an old fashioned, you know, the slow cooker that I've used forever.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I've got a lot of really great pans and a gas stove.
That's not really gadgets. Pans are not gadgets anymore. I think 2,000 years ago, a pan might have been a gadget, but I don't think there are gadgets anymore.
There's like a lot of chopping things. And my dad used to collect all these kitchen things. Like he's got like various and sundry blenders, like, you know, that big stand mixer. We've got, you know, just a lot of mixers and a lot of chopping gadgets. But the one thing that I would live with and can't actually live without, and Misha agrees now, is an immersion blender.
Oh, yeah.
I could literally survive on this planet with an immersion blender and a convection toaster oven in a slow cooker.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and a slow cooker. Okay.
And a slow cooker. I'm just done. I mean, done. Yeah. And then, you know, you don't need much more. I don't even use the convection oven. It gets so hot that, I mean, I bake cookies. I don't even use the oven right. all summer. I was thinking of remodeling the kitchen again. And I'm like, you know, do I even need an oven? That'd be great storage.
I don't know. I think we might be on the cusp of not needing ovens anymore. They don't seem like they're designed particularly well.
I just think, I mean, that would be, and I'm looking at it, it's like, okay, fine. The one we have is like oversized and, you know, has all these features and whatever. And like to replace the kind of basic kitchen stuff that my folks put in this house, probably about 10 years ago, it's like to replace it is like way more money than I would want to spend.
Why would you want to replace it? It's only been 10 years.
Oh, because I wanted to redo the cabinets. I don't like their cabinets.
You're crazy.
So we've been talking about it, but I thought, you know, do we even need, because there's not a lot of space. I'm like, since we don't even use the oven, when did I use the oven? I could even make the little pizzas smaller. I mean, if I make a big pizza, I put it in the oven. But how many times did I do that? Like maybe 6 times last year? That's not enough to keep an oven.
You can always have a pizza oven.
Right? Or put the oven out, you know. A friend was telling me that, she has her ovens outside now. She's like, we have a weird house. I have 2 ovens outside because I don't want to heat up the kitchen. I'm like, that's genius.
I think the landscape of the kitchen is changing.
I don't even want a gas stove in the fashion we have. We have this like industrial kind of
you people
5 burner. I mean, and I was looking at replacing them and they're thousands and thousands of dollars to get a comparable.
You don't have to replace it. Why would you replace it?
Well, if I replace the countertop and
you don't have to replace the appliances if you want to redo your kitchen.
Yeah, this one's been rode hard.
If you don't like the cabinets, you don't have to tear the whole thing out. Okay. And now you're telling me you don't need it, though.
But I like cooking on just the little...
You just like buying new things.
That's what Susan says. But like just like a little camper. So I think I would just like take out the stove and take out the oven is what I'm saying. And just go with other little gadgets. Then I could have a air fryer, yeah. And you just have your thing. And then that would be all the storage where I put all my little goodies, like where the stove is. Because it takes up a humongous space.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with that.
So next is getting rid of your refrigerator.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
No, I don't think that.
No.
I need the freezer to keep all the food.
I love my refrigerator. It's actually really pretty.
Anyway.
On the inside, it is. The lights light up. And another friend would come over and she's like,
ooh,
I love your...
Oh, I'm sorry. Catherine, the lights in your refrigerator light up? Wow.
But the way they light up, it just is very dramatic. And it's very bright.
Oh,
and
my God. Where are we going?
Okay, so Huel, getting back to Huel. I think you should try it.
Maybe. Why would I do that? I have the air fryer. Maybe if I go camping again, I can get a couple of scoops out of it and take that.
How'd you find out about that?
TikTok.
Oh, God.
Those are the advertisements I see in TikTok. It knows who I am. I'm a middle-aged white schmuck who is wealth adjacent. Anyway.
What the hell were we talking about today?
Nothing. We didn't even talk about art. We need to talk about art next time.
Okay, next time I want to bring up a couple things because I would like you to contemplate now, and anyone listening, you contemplate too. What is your definition of an emerging artist? And we will dig deep into that next week. I got to go. I'm going to order some Huel.
I dare you to.
Maybe I will.
I'm going to stop recording now.
Okay, bye.